You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 16 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday morning, October the 19th. Let me welcome in our guest now, George Meyer, who is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, former Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, who is here to talk with us about the anniversary of the Federal Clean Water Act, which was passed 35 years ago yesterday. And we will talk about the accomplishments of the Clean Water Act and what still needs to be accomplished when it comes to the quality of our lakes and rivers here in Wisconsin. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions for him. Maybe you have some memories of then and now when it comes to the quality of our lakes and rivers in the state. 1-800-642-1234. That's our call-in number, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And George Meyer joins me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks very much for sitting through our pledge drive business.
It's important business.
Yes, and thanks for saying that you're going to renew your pledge and maybe pick up one of the Wisconsin Public Radio water bottles. That's great.
To the listeners, these are really beautiful-looking bottles, and I encourage them to pledge.
Thanks. Remind us what prompted the Clean Water Act some 35 years ago.
Well, many of your listeners might remember that back in 1969, the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland, Ohio, actually caught on fire.
Uh-huh.
And that sort of captured the public, and they looked at their local streams that were not in good shape, their lakes, and they put a lot of pressure on the U.S. Congress. And in 1972, the Congress passed the Clean Water Act amendments in 1972, and actually did it by overriding a veto of then-President Nixon to get it in effect. So there was that much public support in Wisconsin. And this is when I first started working for the Department of Natural Resources.
That was your first job, was to implement the Clean Water Act.
It was. Uh-huh. And I remember what the waterways were then. The Wisconsin River, you couldn't eat the fish because they smelled, actually. It was that bad when you cooked them. The Fox River had virtually no game fish left. The Milwaukee River was heavily contaminated. There was a serious problem in the state.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Appleton, and I remember walking across the College Avenue Bridge over the Fox River, lots of paper mills right there, and it was the water was like pea soup, and boy, the smell was something else. It was terrible.
Well, I went to college at St. Norbert College, downstream of there. And the worst thing that could happen when, you know, young college guys, if you ever got thrown in the river, you were in trouble because you either came out with an earache or with
slime.
A rash. It was bad.
So now, 35 years later, what's the Fox like now?
Well, these streams are remarkably better. This is really a government law, a government program that has really worked. In 1972, municipalities and industries were directed to get permits to clean up the contamination. And in fact, by 1985, Wisconsin was the first state in the country where, in fact, all the permits had been issued and largely, the standards were met for what we call point sources, discharges from municipalities to industries. Now, those standards have been tightened over the years, and municipalities and industries have had to upgrade their treatment plants. But in fact, now, if you go below that dam in De Pere, where I was afraid to be thrown in the water, it has a world-class walleye fishery. There's outstanding fisheries in the Wisconsin River. There's cold water fisheries that are actually running up the Milwaukee River and the Menominee River in Milwaukee, and you can go fly fishing for salmon and trout in those bodies of water. That's how much it's improved. And it came because, one, the law, but you know, the people of the state of Wisconsin put over $3 to $4 billion into municipal water treatment. Industries paid tremendous amounts of money to upgrade their treatment plants. The thing that was important was that it was a federal act because, for instance, Wisconsin had tried to get the paper mills and other businesses to deal with water pollution prior. But the threat always was, well, if you do that, we're going to move our operation to Georgia or Mississippi or Oklahoma. Well, what the federal law did was give the whole country a level playing field. So there was no incentive. Businesses really had to dig in and improve their effluent discharges.
And to clarify, though, the Clean Water Act did just deal, I shouldn't say just, but it dealt with the discharges from an industry or a municipality.
Yes. And there are certain things that weren't covered by it, and we still have some of those problems today.
And those are?
Well, there's really the two major problems in our state in terms of contamination, where, in fact, we're not meeting water quality standards, are just more difficult to deal with, and they were not covered very well by the Clean Water Act. The first is runoff off the land. And people call this non-point pollution, but basically what it is when it rains, runs off our lawns, picks up the fertilizers and the sediment that's in our lawns. It goes down our city streets, our parking lots, where it picks up the heavy metals and the rubber from our tires and the oil and various fluids from our cars. And they really run into our storm sewers and then go into our lakes without any treatment. In the countryside, you have the contamination running off of farm fields.
Right.
And it may be where manure's been spread, and that runs off with its potassium and nitrogen and fecal coliform. But also just fertilizers run off, too, where you don't have animal fertilizer on the land. You have regular fertilizer, and that gets into our lakes and streams.
And that ends up, if I recall, I did a program this summer that especially the fertilizer runoff can result in things like algae blooms and toxic algae in our lakes and rivers.
One of the results is this blue-green algae, which in fact has killed a child a while back and has killed dogs in lakes. It also, we don't like green lakes, we like blue lakes, but the eutrophication that comes from the fertilizers of phosphorus and nitrogen that gets into our lake, which makes the various weeds in the lake grow and, in fact, undesirable species of weeds grow.
What sorts of policies, George Meyer, on a state or federal level for that matter, but probably a state level, are needed to... or can be implemented to deal with this non-point pollution?
In fact, about 4 or 5 years ago, the state adopted some of the best regulations about how to deal with animal waste and how to deal with farmers, how they manage the nutrients on their land, whether it's from manure or from their own bought fertilizer. And in fact, there's very good regulations. But at the same time, there was a caveat put in because... the legislature was concerned about the economic impact on farmers, that the farmers didn't have to comply with those regulations unless they had 70% cost sharing offered to them. And meanwhile, the state budgets have been very slim in terms of that cost sharing. Finally, this year, there is in both the governor's budget and the state Senate budget a very nice increase. I think about $6-7 million, which in fact would go to those farmers. And then they would use that money to do things such as managing the nutrients and putting into place those kinds of practices that in fact would keep the sediment and the fertilizers on the land growing crops rather than in our lakes growing weeds.
So this cost sharing is a state subsidy or financial aid.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's often matched with federal money that comes under the federal farm bill, but a lot of it has to be state money because many other states don't have the same kind of problem we do. In Wisconsin.
Well, so that's another issue up in the air because we don't have a state budget right now, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Anything else? Any other policy issues that should be looked at?
The other major water contaminant issue in the state is actually caused by air pollution. every lake in this state has an advisory warning, especially women of reproductive age and children, not to eat over a certain amount of fish per month or per week. Mm-hmm. And it's caused because of mercury in the waters. And that doesn't come from, for instance, an industry discharging mercury. Some of that happened back in the early 70s. But now it comes from, in fact, air emissions, and mainly from coal-fired boilers. And the largest source of that actually is from utility boilers. So when we turn on the lights in our homes, if we're using electricity generated by coal-fired boilers, we're actually adding to the mercury level that gets up into the atmosphere. And this is really a worldwide problem, but often our own mercury in our state comes down into our own waters when it rains, the rain going through the emissions from the power plants.
Is there still a lawsuit over that? Isn't that an EPA issue of regulating those emissions?
There is. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in this state, actually, and this is at the latter days of my day as a secretary, and right after that, Wisconsin became the first Midwest state to address this in a major way by requiring that the utilities, by certain dates in 2013 or so, mm-hmm. reduce 75% of mercury. Since then, all the states around us have gone to a higher standard. And now many of our organizations, including the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, have petitioned the Natural Resources Board to raise the standards in Wisconsin to 90% reduction of mercury emissions. So we can, in fact, turn this around and set the model for the rest of the country. And in fact, the U.S. EPA is in the process of looking at its regulations also.
We're talking with George Meyer. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, former secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, talking with us on the day after the anniversary of the passage of the Federal Clean Water Act. It's the 35th anniversary of the Clean Water Act. We're talking about what has been accomplished and what still needs to be done. And we're welcoming your input as well. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then our lines are open for your calls. But let me give you another number right now to consider, since we are still in our pledge drive and still working our way toward a $3,000 goal this hour. So far, $380 raised toward that goal. That's great, but it's important, very important this hour to reach that goal, because an extra $1,000 in a challenge grant comes our way when we reach $3,000 with your help, with your pledge of support to 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772, or pledge online at WPR.org. Any pledge, any amount, appreciated and very much needed. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Friday, October the 19th. It was 35 years ago yesterday that the Federal Clean Water Act was passed. The intent was to make all waters in America fishable and swimmable. The measure was inspired in part by public outrage when a river in Cleveland caught fire. Do you remember that? We are talking about the anniversary of the Federal Clean Water Act, what it has accomplished, and what still needs to be done to protect our waters in Wisconsin and beyond. We are talking with George Meyer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, former DNR Secretary for the state of Wisconsin, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for him about water pollution and water quality. 1-800-642-1234, our call-in line, and we have an open line for you, 1-800-642-1234. You can also send an email to talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. Bill in Deerfield is on the line. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Good morning. You mentioned that the Clean Water Act was passed originally directed at point source polluters, specific industries. And I guess there's one that I guess they maybe couldn't have anticipated, and that's the shipping industry. And there's so many invasive species from ballast water. I guess the state of Wisconsin can't really do anything specifically on its own, or can it, because of probably infringement of trade or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just wonder what you think about that.
George Meyer?
Bill, you've hit on a real major subject. Actually, the ballast water from international shipping contains many invasive species. These are various fish species or diseases, and they come into the Great Lakes, exchange that ballast water, and they've brought many of these species into the Great Lakes. It's estimated over 180 species have come into the lake, causing like zebra mussels and potentially this newest disease, VHS, and has caused very substantial problems. And technically, those ships are point sources. But back in early 1970s, the EPA, without congressional blessing, passed a rule exempting them from getting permits. Well, that rule was challenged in California by a nonprofit group, and it was overturned. And in fact, right now, the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, along with our counterparts in Minnesota and Michigan, led by the National Wildlife Federation, is suing the U.S. EPA and the Great Lakes shippers, asking them under in court to get permits, discharge permits, and therefore then have to treat that ballast water. And there's negotiations going on now to get them to come up with an interim treatment method and a long-term treatment method. Now, technically, it's also in violation of state law.
Mm-hmm.
State of Wisconsin, back in the early 1970s, adopted a similar rule that has not been struck down yet. But our organization is considering a petition to the Natural Resources Board to overturn that rule and, in fact, require permits. There's also a bill pending in the state legislature to do the same thing. So that is a gap in how the law was enforced.
Bill, thanks very much for the call. Michelle in Toma is with us now. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning, George. Thank you for taking my call. My question today is, we're dealing in our community, in my hometown in Genoa, Wisconsin. There's Dairyland Power Plant, and they are a coal factory burning plant. And they just brought to the public's attention that they are in phase four of implementing another landfill site. And where my parents live and where I grew up, it's in the township of Harmony, and they are in Genoa. And I'm very concerned because up until this point, they have been recycling. And it seems to me that I don't understand why they can't continue to do so. And when we ask what's phase four, because we didn't know what 1, 2, and 3 were, there's a number of landfills around that I was not aware of, or that I don't believe most of our participants at the town hall meeting were. And they're saying that a benign plan, that in other states they're allowed to spread this mercury-containing sludge on farmland. And I'm very concerned for our future of our children and for the environment. And
okay. All right, Michelle, thanks very much. I was trying to get to what exactly they were going to put in a landfill. Mercury-tainted sludge?
Well, I think I'm a little bit familiar with the process, at least, that's going on, maybe not all the details. But actually, Dairyland Power is likely going to have to put additional controls on their power plant. And part of it is to capture the mercury before it gets out into the air, which means there's going to be they're going to have more ash as a result of that process. And this is what we've been told by various utilities. So there'll be more ash to deal with, so then they have to landfill it. It will have mercury in it. The key is, and they have to do something with it, and the key is, in fact, that a proper site be found, however, and that the landfill be properly designed. The landfill standards in the state of Wisconsin are very stringent. And if it's constructed according to those standards, it should fully entomb the ash. And in fact, there's collection facilities, so if water doesn't get in, it gets collected and then can be treated. But my advice is to work very closely with the Department of Natural Resources in that area to make sure the process, you have input into the process, the location, and the design of any facility, and make sure it's done right.
Thank you, Michelle. Glenn in Madison. Hi, Glenn, you're on the air.
Yes. My concern was I live in Madison. I've been here since 1964, and I noticed that we're doing a feasibility study on the possibility of railway or some kind of track transportation in Madison. I was wondering why we hadn't done anything about the lakes surrounding the Madison area as far as the mercury count and the pollution count. Do you have anything to say about that?
Actually, the Madison Lakes are really, you know, they're the gem of the city, one of the gems of the city, and there actually has been a lot done. There's a lot more needs to be done. But as an example, the 30, 40 years ago, 1950s, there was actually a discharge of Madison sewage into those lakes. That has been taken out, and there's a major treatment plan to south of town, which then discharges into a tributary below our lakes. But beyond that, there's been substantial money put into dealing with this contaminated runoff from farmland and urban streets. That's one reason that we have our street sweeping in this town to get the leaves off and that type of thing. But agriculturally, there's been a lot of money put into the watershed, and there has been a reduction in the pollution. There's still more to do. This county has taken the lead in the state by putting phosphorus banned fertilizers requirements that you can't buy fertilizers with phosphorus. But it took us many, many years to add to the pollution in these lakes. Mm. It'll take many years for that phosphorus to be leaving those lakes.
Can I? Should the phosphorus ban on lawn fertilizers be a statewide?
It should bill? Be, and there's some builds to that, mm-hmm. and many groups like Wisconsin Association of Lakes and Clean Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, are very strong proponents of that.
Yeah, we only have another minute or so with you during this pledge drive hour. Clean Water Restoration Act is something that is still on the horizon?
Yes. There's a bill in Congress introduced by Senator Feingold from this state. Over the years, the U.S. Supreme Court has narrowed the jurisdiction of the Clean Water Act. In other words, it has made it applicable to fewer bodies of water in this country. There is a bill in Congress, which is very strongly supported by many organizations, to restore that jurisdiction back to what it was in 1972 when Congress first passed it. And I'd encourage listeners to contact their congressman or woman and their senators, asking them to support that restoration. It's important for other states in the country, and it's important for Wisconsin.
We have one more minute to go. I wanted to ask you, since it's back in the legislature and back in the news, this effort to change the way the DNR secretary is selected. I guess the governor now is part of the governor's cabinet. The governor selects it. This was a change from before when the Natural Resources Board selected the secretary. Do you think it should be the Natural Resources Board or the governor?
I'm a very strong supporter of a board-appointed secretary, and there's two reasons. One is you get less politics involved in decision-making by having a board-appointed secretary as opposed to a secretary responding directly to an elected governor. And secondly, you get more experienced people at the top. Over the years, there are many more seasoned professionals running the agency under a board-appointed system than the current system.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking with us about that and the Clean Water Act.
And to all my friends out there, please call and pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hey, that number is 1-800-383-9772. George Meyer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation and former DNR Secretary. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. About 12 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 7, I'm really looking forward to the next hour. We'll be welcoming in Patricia McConnell. She is the co-host of Wisconsin Public Radio's nationally syndicated weekend program, Calling All Pets. And we'll talk about her latest book, For the Love of a Dog. We'll talk about that special bond that so many of us have with our dogs and the emotions of dogs coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, Wisconsin Public Radio's Assistant Director of Talk Programming, Cheryl Gasser, joins me once again to talk with you about the importance of pledging to Wisconsin Public Radio. Cheryl?
Good morning, Joy. We have a goal this hour of $3,000, and thank you to the five of you who have pledged so far this hour. We've raised $380. Still a long way to go, but we can do it. You can do it. Your pledge will make the difference. When we reach $3,000 in the next 12 minutes or so, an additional $1,000 will be coming our way from existing members to Wisconsin Public Radio. Their way to encourage you to go to the phone now, make that pledge online. The choice is yours, WPR.org. Or 800-383-9772.
Yeah, this is the last Friday morning at this time during this fall pledge drive that you will hear us asking you for your support. So if you're getting ready to hop in the car and drive to work and not give public radio another listen to for a while, this would be a great time to call in that pledge. Help us reach this $3,000 goal and get the extra $1,000 from existing members. If we don't make the goal, we don't get that extra money. And I really, really don't want to miss out on this important challenge on this Friday morning. 1-800-383-9772, the number to call to make your pledge, 1-800-383-9772, or pledge online at WPR.org.
Nearly every week, Joy covers important environmental issues, in-depth, hour-long discussions on the health of the world around you. What is that kind of coverage worth to you? 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. The average pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, right around $10 a month, $120 for the year. You can break it down monthly if you like. You can pay it all at once if that's more convenient for you. Those options are available to you whether you pledge online or make a call and talk with a volunteer. They can walk you through the steps, 800-383-9772.
You pledge because you understand Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported radio, that 31% of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget, the most important part of our budget, comes from listener contributions, pledges like yours. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Cheryl, you mentioned that the average pledge is $120. The $120 pledge entitles you to the member benefit card, which we'll tell you about in just a moment, but it also entitles you to the Wisconsin Public Radio water bottle, which is an appropriate thank you gift to mention during this hour when we just talked about water and the importance of our water and clean water and the environment. The Wisconsin Public Radio water bottle, so you can be a wise, instead of the wasteful bottled water that you buy in the store, you can have this reusable, sturdy plastic water bottle from Wisconsin Public Radio to be kind to the environment and to show your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So you'll get that and the member benefit card at the $10 a month level. 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
Enjoy your guest this hour. George Meyer just went back, renewed his pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, picked up
the water bottle.
He did. And we'd be happy to send one to you as well. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org. And again, for a pledge of $120, not only will you get the Wisconsin Public Radio water bottle, but also the member benefit card. And that can pay for your pledge if you use it frequently, even maybe just once. There are so many benefits. 2-for-1 entrees at 250 restaurants, new this fall. 2 nights for the price of one at many bed and breakfasts around Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota. Online shopping discounts, cultural admission, 2-for-1 admissions to symphonies and ballets and museums. The list goes on and on. And so you can see if you if you spend a night in a bed and breakfast, eat out a couple times, you'll actually probably be saving money with your membership to Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-383-9772 is the number to call.
I'm looking forward to using my member benefit card all over the state of Wisconsin. I've certainly gotten good use of it over the past couple of years. Looking forward to taking advantage of some of these bed and breakfast deals, two nights for the price of one. I love traveling around Wisconsin. Like you, I'm in love with Wisconsin. And one of the reasons, Cheryl, I'm in love with Wisconsin is because of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is a constant companion wherever I go, traveling around the state. And we hear from great guests, not only on this program, but all day long, talking about important issues like the environment and like clean water and how to reduce water pollution. 1-800-383-9772. Please make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Help us reach this $3,000 goal for this hour so we can pick up this extra $1,000 in a challenge grant from existing members of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
We have raised so far, you have raised so far, nearly $1,000, just shy of it. Thank you so much for your support. We're a third of the way there. 5 minutes to go. We want to hear from you now during this hour. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org. You know, the average pledge, again, is about $120 per year. We're also seeing a lot more dollar-a-day pledges here at Wisconsin Public Radio. There's not much you can get for a dollar a day that gives you the news, the information, the entertainment that Wisconsin Public Radio does. If that's something that is a value to you because it's a value to you, and if that's within your budget, a dollar a day, a dollar a week, whatever the level, the important thing is that you become a member. 1-800-383-9772.
Become a member like Brian in Green Bay. He is a new member to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. He says the Ideas Network is fantastic programming. It really gets the brain going. I love it. I just started listening a few months ago, but I already feel enlightened and motivated to become more active where help is needed. Thank you very much. Well, Brian, thank you very much for being a short-time listener and yet a contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio because of the information that you receive from Wisconsin Public Radio. We really appreciate it. We really need listener contributions to keep this service strong, and we really need your pledge this hour to reach that $3,000 goal. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org.
Joy does just an amazing job covering issues from the environment to the latest on state and national politics, the economy, healthcare. And this hour, we're talking about the economic status of Wisconsin Public Radio. We need your support. We couldn't do it without you. And this hour, we need to raise $3,000. And when we do, we'll get an additional $1,000. But the time is ticking away. We've got $1,100 raised so far. Thank you for that. But we really want to hear from you. If you've been waiting, putting off making a pledge, the time is now. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Working toward that $3,000 goal, your pledge of, say, $120 during this hour will actually mean it's $160 pledge, if that makes sense, if we get this challenge grant, because your pledge will go that much further. If I say if, because we're not there yet. If we get the $3,000, an extra $1,000 from existing members, 1-800-383-9772. I want to be confident, but right now, not quite halfway there and only a couple of minutes to go.
Because you care about the environment and the world around you, and because Wisconsin Public Radio covers those topics from a variety of perspectives, make a pledge of support. Be as generous as you can. Become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Pick up for $120 the member benefit card and the Wisconsin Public Radio reusable water bottle for a pledge of any amount. You are a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, and that's the important thing. We want to hear from you now, whatever the level. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
pledge whatever works for your budget to help support Wisconsin Public Radio and to pay for this service. Be as generous as you can. If you're, sometimes we get pledges of $50, sometimes $500, sometimes $5,000. So as you can see, there's some number in between all of those that works for you. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Working toward that $3,000 goal in order to get this extra $1,000 from existing members.
Keep your calls coming through the news. They'll count for this hour. 800-383-9772. Your chance to tell Joy that you appreciate all that she does for you here on the Ideas Network. 800-383-9772.
And it also tells us that you appreciate great guests like George Meyer and to talk about important issues like the environment. 1-800-383-9772. I'm Joy Cardine with Cheryl Gasser, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.